welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is using WebSphere Transformation Extender to call a web service. Today's presenter is Paul Brett. Paul is a Senior Enterprise Support Analyst with IBM WebSphere Transformation Extender Level 2 Customer Support in the UK. Paul joined IBM in 2005 as part of the Essential acquisition. Working in the Industry Solutions Development Division as team leader for the IBM WebSphere TX Customer Support Team in EMEA, he has day-to-day contact with customers, both internal and external, at all levels. Paul has acquired over 10 years of product knowledge, having supported the WTX product since version 5. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Paul.
Thank you, David. Hello, and welcome to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Paul Brett, and as already mentioned, the subject today is using WebSphere Transformation Extender to call a web service. I want to thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedules and joining me. I sincerely hope that you find this session both interesting and informative. Please move to slide 2. Here we have the agenda. For today's presentation, we will be going through the following topics. To start, I shall give a general definition of a web service. I shall briefly introduce the software components I will be using in this presentation. Some of these are optional, and some are required to use WebSphere TX to design a map that, when executed, will call a web service. I will point out the web service I will be using for the demonstration, where it can be located, and what we would expect of it. Next, I will highlight some of the parts of the WSDL that are key to understanding the capabilities of the web service. I have several screenshots taking us through the process of importing the WSDL using the WebSphere TX Design Studio. Then, key parts of the created type tree will be highlighted. Please move to slide 3. Continuing with the agenda, the import process creates a skeleton of a map as an importable XML file. So, I'll go through the process of importing that at this point. I'll first add some very basic rules to the imported map, execute it, then go into the reasons why the map fails this first time around. Next, we will add some more rules that will allow the successful execution of the map. With that success, certain output files will be created, which we shall review. Additional mapping is possible with the imported type tree that's not addressed by the skeleton map. We'll take a quick look at this. Finally, a brief word about file naming conventions and housekeeping to ensure the project directory does not get into a complete mess. I'll round off with a brief summary, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. Please move to slide 4. What is a web service? In the most basic terms, a web service is a collection of hardware and software set up to allow for machine-to-machine communication over the internet. As with many such systems, there are components that clearly fall into the client and server roles, and also some that don't. For the purposes of this demonstration, the IBM WebSphere TX software, surrounding components, and third-party tools will be acting as a client, sometimes referred to as a web service consumer. The server component is being hosted on a publicly available demonstration system. A web service is usually defined in its scope and capabilities with a file written in Web Services Description Language, or WSDL, usually shortened to WSDL. The WSDL file format is a subset of XML. Please move to slide 5. Before you can call a web service with WTX, certain components need to be installed. For my demonstration, I'm going to be using the WTX Design Studio, although, as you can see, this is not the only execution environment that you can use. Also available are the Launcher, Command Server, and WTX API, as well as other IBM offerings that can access and execute WTX maps. One component that is, however, essential is the IBM WebSphere TX pack for web services. Without this pack, the Design Studio lacks key features required to interrogate the WSDL files. Please move to slide 6. Some optional software. When embarking on a project involving web services, there are a few tools that I would recommend the WTX Map Developer has available to them. The first is a web service validation tool from CrossCheck Networks called SOAP Sonar. The second is an XML validation tool from Altova software called XML Spy. Both these items of software are freely available as downloads for personal and educational use. Please visit the software vendors mentioned for further details. Other products do, of course, exist, and I only mention these two as I have used them before and found them to be more than adequate for the purposes that I am using them for. Please move to slide 7. Any reasonable demonstration of a web service consumer, in this case WebSphere TX, is going to require access to a web service to properly demonstrate the functions and features. At webservicex.net, you will find a range of web services that are open to the public. I have chosen to run this demonstration using StockQuote, which is a simple web service shown at the top of the menu you can see on the left. Please move to slide 8. The purpose of this web service is listed as follows. Get a stock quote for a company by supplying its stock symbol. The WSDL itself can be downloaded from the site at the address shown. The screenshot shows that I have downloaded the WSDL and opened it in the SOAP Sonar utility. I have expanded the operations listed in the navigator on the left and selected the only available operation, which is GetQuote. In the entry pane on the right, I have populated the input fields required to call this web service, in this case, just a simple stock quote symbol, and I've used IBM. At this point, I would like to commit the test settings and save the service request to a file. The reasons for wanting this file will become apparent later in the demonstration. Please move to slide 9. Here is the WSDL request as crafted by SOAP Sonar. I've formatted it slightly to fit the screen. As you can see, there are quite a few namespace declarations, most of which are unnecessary. But we will come back to that later. The bulk of the file looks good and contains the key input data we supplied in the SOAP Sonar utility, i.e., you can see fairly clearly the IBM stock symbol. Please move to slide 10. I suggest you manually copy the WSDL file to your WebSphere TX project in your Eclipse workspace, as this is where it will be needed during the import process I will get to shortly. In the Extender Navigator, any WSDL files will appear in the MISC section of the Document Object Tree. Although you can open this file in the Eclipse Editor, and it does give you a graphical representation of the WSDL, mostly we will not be directly accessing this file. Please move to slide 11. To kick off the import procedure, right-click on the Type Trees section of the Document Tree in the Extender Navigator. From the pop-up menu, choose Import WSDL. The first screen of the importer wizard allows the user to pick the WSDL from the project. Note that you can get the file from the file system, but it is found much easier if it is already in the project, which is why we copied it there manually earlier. One of the later screens in the WSDL importer wizard shows the operations that are contained within the WSDL file. In our case, there is only one operation, so I pick it and move forward. Please move to slide 12. If everything works as it should, after choosing a project location for the resulting type tree file, the WSDL importer wizard should report a successful type tree create. It is worth reminding you at this point that not a but also a skeleton map as an importable XML file. Please move to slide 13. Opening the type tree file reveals a standard top-level structure that varies little between different WSDL files. The root object of the type tree always shares the same name with the WSDL from which it was imported. All available operations should be listed under the category object operation. In the screenshot, you can see that we have getQuote as a child object of operation. Each operation may have one or both of the group objects named input and output. Please move to slide 14. Going back to that skeleton map file, the process for importing it into a usable map source file starts with right-clicking on the map files section of the document tree in the Extender Navigator. From there, choose, from the pop-up menu, Import Map from XML. After browsing to the location of the map XML file, which is named after the WSDL file, in this case, stock_map.xml, select all of the appropriate options to create the map source file. The created map source file is named after the WSDL file again, in this case, stock_map.mmf. Please move to slide 15. Expanding the type tree, which at first seems quite complicated, we find that the place we need to insert our input data is the very last editable rule cell at the bottom. After adding IBM into that cell and none into every other mandatory cell, we can then build the map. However, a quick check execution shows that something is not quite right. The map fails, and depending on settings, there may or may not be any output. As mentioned, I change the output file name as output card number 1 to WTX_request. I also change the options so that this file would be written in the event of map failure. This is a good idea because it lets us review the request that was crafted and compare it to that made by any third-party utility, and in our case, the SOAP Sonar request. Please move to slide 16. Reviewing the files side by side, or one above the other in this case, it is immediately apparent that the WTX request is a bit on the light side, specifically the namespace declarations. Most of these are optional anyway, but one is mandatory. I found this out through trial and error. Unfortunately, in this case, it is the last one on the list that was needed, which made that process a lot longer than it needed to be. Now that I know what to look for, I always go for the TNS namespace declaration first. At this point, I would draw your attention to the case of the URL, and specifically the fact that the X and the net are in uppercase, with everything else in lowercase. You will notice that the namespace prefix on some of the XML objects are different on the two messages above. The SOAP sonar request has SOAP in lowercase, a space, and then the word envelope with a capital E. The WTX request, however, has SOAP-env, all in capitals. This is not important, as long as there is consistency within the message. Please move to slide 17. I have found that the namespace declaration needs to go into a very specific place within the web service request message. To get WTX to produce the namespace declaration in that place, there are some key changes to make on the output card in the map designer. First, you need to find the ATTR list XMLS repeating group with a range of 0 to 2. You will need to right-click on this object and choose Add Index to force the first instance of this repeating group, thus opening up a raw mapping cell at that level. You can see this in the left screenshot in the slide on your screens. Next, you need to identify the XMLNS repeating group with an infinite or S range within this first forced iteration of the ATTR list XMLS repeating group, indicated by the number 1 in the square brackets. Once again, right-click and add an index to force the generation of the first instance of this object. The raw cells can now be populated. This process will, I hope, become clearer on the next slide. Please move to slide 18. As you can see, within the first iteration of the ATTR list XMLS repeating group, signified with a 1 in square brackets, there is a single iteration of XMLNS, also indicated with a 1 in square brackets. Expanding this group, we can see two raw cells, which I've populated with literal values, TNS, and a URL, http://www.webservicex.net. I would once again like to highlight that the URL is written in a specific case so that it exactly matches the one listed in the SOAP sonar request shown two slides ago. Now that these extra two rules have been added, it is time to recheck the map execution. Please move to slide 19. As you can see, this looks good. Obviously, results will need to be checked, but a successful map execution at this point certainly gives us the confidence the web service call was made and retrieved something from the web server. Otherwise, the fail function would have kicked in again and failed the map. Please move to slide 20. In this slide, I bring the SOAP sonar request message, the new WTX request message, and a first look at the WTX response message. Looking at the WTX request message for a bit in the middle, you can see that the getQuote object had a TNS namespace declaration with the URL in the correct case that I mentioned in the previous slide. You will note that the format of this message is not exactly the same as the SOAP sonar request, but this is the format I have found that consistently works. Looking at the response, which is a bit difficult to read, having all the XML embedded codes escaped as it is, we can at least pick out the 205.91 number from about two-thirds of the way along the line of data there. Let's see if we can tidy that up just a little bit. Please move to slide 21. The imported type tree, already used to craft and execute the web service call and received the response, can fulfill yet another role. using one of the objects within the type tree, in this case, get quote, soap sonar, soap out, get quote, soap out, message, stock quote, a map can be created to parse the result from the web service call. At the bottom left of this slide, you can see the outline view that I've created a parse response map. In the middle of the slide, you can see the input card for that map, which shows the top-level object specified by the type tree object I mentioned just now. And finally, on the right side of the slide, you can see the properties of that input card, which shows the map reads the wtxresponse.xml file created by the previous map. What you can't see, because the properties window is covering it, is that I've created a simple output card. This card uses a type tree object that is a basic text blob. Into this, I've put a rule to simply capture the final object of the input card, which you can see at the bottom of the input card there, and is named value. This contains all that really useful information that looked like garbage in the previous slide. Please move to slide 22. The result of executing this new parse response map is the correctly formatted, i.e. unescaped, XML that holds all the key data that the web service has provided in response to our request. The request, which as you may recall was IBM. This XML data can be sent via the use of a RAM function or other means to another map for further processing of the individual elements of this XML data. It can also be injected via the WTX connectivity adapters to a vast range of third-party software systems. Please move to slide 23. At this point, I would like to make a brief comment on the file naming conventions and the organization of the WTX workspace. This was a fairly simple project, and yet, even after I've tidied up all the miscellaneous backup files and garbage from the workspace directory, there are still quite a number of files related to this one single task. I changed my two output cards so that the names were easy for me to recognize. I called them wtx_request.xml and wtx_response.xml. We also had a soapsonar_request.xml, which admittedly could be removed now that we have it working, and the wsoutput.xml.file created by the parse response map. Finally, we also have a stock_quote_map.xml, which is the data required to build the map source file. Again, now that we've finished with it, that perhaps could be deleted. With so many XML files, it is important to have a naming convention that enables you to easily identify the key parts to avoid accidentally deleting or modifying the wrong files. In this respect, it might be ideal to have a separate subdirectory for each web service call, even if multiple web services are obtained from the same WSDL file during your design phase. Please move to slide 24. Wrapping this up then, the key points I would like to go over are: 1. The WSDL importer, while great, still requires the user to make some important mapping choices. Secondly, third-party tools exist to make this process a whole lot easier. I recommend you obtain either the suggested ones or one of the commonly available alternatives and experiment to find what works best for you. Lastly, the imported type tree has a lot more functionality than just building and executing the web service call. Parts of it can be used to parse the resulting message as well, although this is not immediately obvious from analysis of the map that is created by the WSDL importer. Please move to slide 25. This chart contains links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Technical Support Exchange webcasts, like the one you attended today. Additionally, you can access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Visit websphereusergroup.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. At this point, I would like to turn the presentation back to David. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, for a great presentation. Before we get to the question and answer session, we would like to conduct a short poll. Four questions will appear in the web conference, and your responses would be greatly appreciated. The first question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The information presented today was useful to me. Strongly agree, neutral, disagree, or strongly disagree. I'll pause a few moments to collect your responses. Thank you. Moving on to the second question. On a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Thank you. And the third question is, did this call meet your training expectations, yes or no? And the last question is, how did you hear about today's WSTE webcast? Thank you for your responses. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. Thanks again for your participation. Moving on to the Q&A session, I would like to remind you that for those of you who join us via the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. At this time, Julie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your first and your last name. Please unmute your phone when recording your name, and to withdraw your question, press star 2. One moment, please. We do have a question. One moment. Sunu Godbole, your line is open.
Okay. My question is around the WSE security sections that are part of the SOAP envelope and the authentication using X509 certificates. Are there like any plans to include that in the WTX web services pack?
Well, that's a great question. I think the best thing to do would be for me to take that information offline and get back to you personally, because I need to check the response on that with the sales guys.
Okay.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. We do have another question. One moment. Darren Frere, your line is open.
Hi, Paul. On slide 15, towards the bottom of it there, you have we can see the first part of your get SOAP rule that's wrapped with a valid function. I'm wondering, is there recommendation on some kind of a retry strategy? If the web service you're calling doesn't respond the first time, can you set up something to try it a couple more times?
Certainly you can. Instead of a fail, what you can do is have another nested GET within there. And within the second GET, you could activate additional tracing options. And then within that, if it still fails, you could nest a third try even if you wanted to. You could go as complicated as you want to with nesting tries. You could also do that with additional output cards by ignoring the valid and just doing a last error message rule. But yeah, there's plenty of scope for doing retries if the service you're connecting to is a bit on the flaky side. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So, would there be a method then for doing some kind of a sleep or something between, like, if you want to give it 5 seconds between the first and second retry?
Yes, there are multiple methods within WTX to make the map sleep for a while. Mostly, I use the batch script adapter. There's a little trick you can do with calling a ping for a specific number of seconds, and that just basically makes the map wait. You can also call external sleep-type programs with either the batch or the shell script adapter, depending on which platform you're executing on.
Okay, I think that's got it. Thank you.
No problem.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site by early next week. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Paul, for presenting today.
Thank you.